this sneaky thing called bitterness. It's a silent killer. Bitterness is there to come and corrupt the love that your gift should be flowing out of. So now when you go to flowing gifts, you will see through the lens of bitterness. Satan is the accuser of the brethren and accuses us in front of God. He's slandering us in God's presence. That's why slander is such a nasty, awful, awful thing. Hello and welcome back to the Changing Lives podcast. I'm not co-pastor Lena Robertson. This is a takeover episode, but I am her oldest son. And, you know, we didn't just come in here and sneak an episode in, but she asked me to come in and to share and do a takeover. So here we are. You know, I just want to start off by saying for those who have been tuning in, welcome back. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you like the episode. Make sure you share it. Engage with us. Leave a comment. You know, we want to really connect with our audience here. And so today I'm going to be sharing how bitterness can derail God's plan for your life. Sort of a negative subject. You know, we're going to talk about some of the positive things that we can do to combat and go against bitterness. But I really feel led today, and God just kind of, you know, has been showing me a lot. And I want to just look at and sort of give you a warning about bitterness and the effects of bitterness and what bitterness really can do. So let's start off with this. What is bitterness? I'll give a simple example. Bitterness is like an anger and a disappointment, oftentimes from being treated unfairly. It's very similar to resentment. You know, when you think about bitterness, you may think about your palate. You may think about when you're eating food. You know, there's things that are sweet, and then there are things that are bitter. Normally, when you eat something that is bitter, that is not a compliment. That is not something that, you know, we want to, if we're trying to express how good something is or how great something tastes, we're not going to say that it's bitter. Oftentimes, if something is bitter, we'll spit it out. You know, bitter is just not, you know, a good thing. Even as it pertains to like culinary. But in terms of, you know, our reaction to something or a way that we can be, bitter is also that type of thing. And there's just a bad taste. It's like a bad taste has been left in your mouth. You know, that's like a good way to look at what bitterness is. So what causes it? You know, I'll go down a list of different things and kind of give some examples. You have soul wounds. And for those who don't know what a soul wound is, it's something that really has wounded your soul to where that wound has not healed. Oftentimes, it's from something that may have happened a long time ago. It can be something from childhood. It can be a mistake that a parent made. It could have been a divorce that you didn't necessarily go through, but you watched your parents or someone go through it. It could have been major lifestyle flaws of a parent, of a leader, or whoever else. These are soul wounds that can cause bitterness. Betrayal. Maybe you were in a relationship and, you know, your partner or your spouse was being unfaithful. Maybe there's a friend who you confided in that broke your trust. You know, those things are betrayal. Rejection. It could be just anything as simple as, you know, maybe you liked somebody or were romantically interested in somebody and you got rejected. Or it could be something like even with the story of Cain and Abel, to where God received the sacrifice of one brother and rejected the other. And because of you were in a position where you got rejected, that puts you in a state of bitterness. It could be loss. It could be something as light as, you know, maybe you lost a belonging, but it could be something more serious as you lost a loved one and you're really, and it really didn't make sense to you. And you may be sort of upset with God, or, you know, just not understanding why that took place. You know, loss can cause bitterness. Injustice. This is a big one. Injustice. And it doesn't have to necessarily be, this is not me saying it in terms of there's something that happened that you felt like it shouldn't be that way. That can be injustice too. You can feel like that was injustice, but it can be something that actually was injustice and it was actually wrong. And you were in the right for thinking how you thought. You know, we can say that slavery, that's injustice, but that can cause bitterness. And also disappointment. You know, we have these expectations for ourselves, and sometimes, you know, living in life with other people, it can be, you know, just as an example, maybe you've been on staff somewhere for 15 years and someone who is much younger than you joins the staff and they get the promotion that you've been wanting for the last 5 years. That's pretty disappointing. And that can definitely be something that causes bitterness, especially when it was wrongfully done. Sometimes, you know, we can feel the way that we feel and we aren't justified in that. But sometimes we can maybe be justified in the way that we feel or the way that something is going down. But no matter what the root cause of it, whether it's justified or not, the point that I'm making is that these are things that can cause bitterness. All right. And so let's go into our first scripture, because I want to talk about, okay, what happens as a result of bitterness? And so I'm coming from Hebrews 12. I'll read verses 15 through 17, just so you can kind of see where we're coming from in scripture and why I'm saying that bitterness can completely derail God's plan for your life. It says in Hebrews 12:15, Hebrews 12:14, actually, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterward he wanted his father's blessing. He was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. Now, the verse I kind of want to key in on, and I read all of that just to take a piece out of that whole passage to put it in context. But I want you to see in verse 15, there are some key words that are here. It says poisonous root. I want to key in on the word root. Oftentimes, you know, we can look at the root. You know, we talk about like the fruit of the spirit. We talk about producing. We talk about things like the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You know, there's all types of positive things. But when we begin to look at bitterness, we must take that same mindset and apply it to our understanding to see what this verse is really saying. A root is below the surface. Many times, if you're growing something, before you see what plant that becomes or before anything pops out of the ground, the roots form and grow first. All right. And so I want you to keep that in mind, is that when we look at the root of bitterness, this is something that begins developing underground before fruit is formed. All right. Then it says that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. All right. When something with roots, a plant, when it grows up, we know that eventually there ends up being a harvest. All right. And so it talks about, you know, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you. And so we can look at that and tell that the harvest of this bitterness will trouble you and it will corrupt many others, which is what the verse says. And so the next point, it can corrupt many. And I want to look at poisonous, the poisonous root of bitterness. And this is the NLT, by the way, if you haven't figured it out yet, this is the NLT, but still very similar to the King James Version. But the purpose of poison is to affect others. And when we say others around you corrupting many, I think about those who are closest to you, family, friends, a spouse, that type of thing. And so poisonous, like when a snake is poisonous, when a plant is poisonous, it affects those who come in contact with it. All right. And so, and then, you know, this is also, it's talking about look after each other. Look after each other. And I want to just point that out. This is not necessarily a result of bitterness, but I'm looking at verse 15 and I think about spouses. I think about friends. And oftentimes we can see someone close to us that is carrying a soul wound, is carrying disappointment, is carrying whatever it is. And as a result, bitterness is forming. And I want to encourage, especially spouses, especially other people, you have to watch out and look out, look after each other. Because once that thing forms, it not only corrupts the person, but it can corrupt many. And so when you see something beginning to grow, I even look at, you know, when this says poisonous root of bitterness, when something begins to grow, when something begins to form, I need to pull that up by the root before it gets completely out of hand. I think about in my backyard, I've been fighting poison ivy for the past few years alone. And I know what, you know, when spring starts to come and there are certain things that begin to grow, you know, you can attack something early, but by the time you get around to, you know, June and stuff is really coming forth, it's really hard to get rid of. Almost to the point where it's like, all right, well, let's just, we're gonna have to wait and try to catch it next year. You know, it's the same thing even with grass. You know, you can have weeds and different things that grow in grass, but the best time to prevent those things from forming is before it gets a chance to be established. If you have a yard that's full of weeds, you have to start that whole thing over in order to really grow grass. And so I just want to take a moment to point out, it's telling us in verse 15, look after each other so that none of us fails to receive the grace of God, which also, by the way, just points to the grace that God gives us. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's something that deals with, you know, we think that grace is just so automatic and the grace is available to us. But it says, look after each other that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch that no poison root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. And so this can be a defining moment or a defining thing that prevents someone from receiving the grace of God. I just think automatically about, you know, we need to forgive so that God can forgive us. This is kind of paralleling that. So life through a lens of bitterness, let's kind of talk about that. When someone is, when that thing is growing and it's developing, what does life look like for someone who is seeing everything through the lens of bitterness? I was on Instagram the other day, and a friend of mine from Georgia is assisting his parents, and you know, they have like a DUI driving school, right? And one thing that I saw that was cool is that they actually have like this driving simulator, similar to like a video game or arcade game that you would see out, you know, in an arcade. So it's like a driving simulator. But what they did is that they had these glasses, and the glasses, I don't know what the lens or what the tint or whatever was on them, but the glasses were designed to mimic someone who has been drinking to really break down and to really show the students that this is what it's like when you drink and drive. It's not just a law because it's, we just felt like it should be a law, but this is a law because when you drink and drive, you are driving impaired. When you are going through life with the lens of bitterness, you will see everything through that those lenses, and your seeing will be impaired. Your gifts will be tainted. You know, a person will have gifts, but you won't be able to see clear because bitterness is in there affecting everything. This is, if I can relate it back to even when we say the poisonous root, our heart is supposed to be developing things like the fruits of the spirit, which we'll hit a little bit later, the fruit of the spirit. And these other roots that are being formed are meant to choke out the way that everything else needs to flow. We know that our gifts, hopefully you're tracking me here, but your gifts need to be flowing in love. And bitterness is there to come and corrupt the love that your gifts should be flowing out of. So now when you go to flowing gifts, you will see through the lens of bitterness. An example, or just so you can see what I'm saying, is that we all make mistakes. We all may have ways and different things about us, but you know, someone who may have made a mistake. Let's just say, I don't know. There's a car accident that happened, and let's say that, you know, really the person maybe could have prevented the accident, but things just kind of took place in a way to where, you know, the accident still happened. The lens of bitterness, or looking at things through a certain lens, says that that person is a bad driver, all right? Versus being able to see, okay, the person made a mistake, and they made a misstep and this happened, but now I'm attributing that like to their character. That's a way that can just kind of be tainted, you know, seeing things through the life of bitterness, through the lens of bitterness. Then you'll wonder, why is no one else seeing this the way that I'm seeing it? Or why is it only that certain other people see it the same way that I'm seeing it? And there's a saying that goes, misery loves company. And that's because y'all are seeing life through the same lens. You know, someone who is not affected by bitterness and is walking out of love, you try to tell them this and that, and this person this and there, blah, 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 blah. And you'll wonder why they aren't going down that road with you. You're seeing things through a lens of bitterness, and that's a person that's refusing you to follow you down that road. But if you find somebody who's down that same road with you, or seeing, or has the same glasses on, those bitterness glasses, yeah, I can, you know, you can see things the same way. And so that's one thing. It's not you necessarily being wrong about some of the things that have happened to you, but the lens of bitterness will cause that thing to be distorted. Bitterness can distort the gifts that God is trying to bring forth through your life. All right. So, what comes with bitterness? And like I said, we're walking through this, you know, we're going to come out of it. I'm going to give you some tools that we can work with, that we can pull bitterness up by the root. But I want you to really understand this silent killer, you know, this silent thing that will cause God's plans for your life to completely be derailed is bitterness. And so I really want to take some time to really walk through this. All right, bitterness and what comes with it. Now, in my home, you know, or in anybody's home, if you see one ant, most likely there are other ants that are going to be along with it. If you are in a situation where you find a mouse is in your house, or, you know, there's a rat or something like that, good chances are that there's more where that came from, all right? You know, this is just a principle this is just a principle that just exists and can be applied a lot to spiritual things. Also, when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, you know, the revelation that it's not just all these individual fruits that you can pick and choose from, but it's one fruit that has many characteristics, all right? And so the root of bitterness is similar in the fact that there are multiple things that come attached along with bitterness, all right? And so for this, we're going to look at Ephesians 4:31 to kind of see what's attached to it. And it's given us instructions on getting rid of bitterness and some other things that are attached with it. It says this, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Let me read that again. Get rid of all bitterness. And these all, you know, if you're not catching on, these are all things that are attached to bitterness, rage, anger. These things all hang out together. Bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Hopefully this is starting to connect. I want to key in, though, on one of those things. You know, I just gave you a whole gang, and these are all the members of this gang. Bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. These are all things that are in that root of bitterness. These are the things that are produced even out of that root. These are things that come from it. And so I want to look at slander because this is often, it's what comes with bitterness, but it's also an indicator of someone who is dealing with bitterness, all right? And so slander, the definition of that, it talks bad on the object or person of our bitterness in hopes of recruiting others to agree with and justify our bitterness. Talks bad on the object or person, the subject of our bitterness, in hopes of recruiting others to agree with and justify our bitterness. And I would even say this, with that definition and what we're looking like, and when we're talking about the root of bitterness, I would say that justification is a fertilizer to bitterness. Justification, you know, this is when, like I said, you're recruiting others in. This is just like earlier when I was talking about wanting people to see things through the same lens that you're seeing it, that's distorted. That this is what this is talking about, because there's a justification that comes with that. And that justification does nothing but fuel the bitterness. It does nothing but throw gasoline on the fire that's already beginning to grow and spread. All right. And so slander, earlier I talked about, it's a thing where someone can make a mistake and through those lenses, you attribute that to someone's character. I want to kind of key in on that here. So through those lenses, you will attack someone's character. And this makes me think of someone. This is what Satan does. And this is how we know this sneaky thing called bitterness. It's a silent killer. It really is. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us before God. When we make a mistake, we can love God. We can really be pushing and making moves in the things of God. And what the enemy does when we make a mistake, when we fall, he'll not only talk to us and make us feel bad about whatever it is that we're dealing with and make you believe that you're such an awful person and you'll never be this and you'll never be that, but he also goes and accuses us in front of God. And he tries to take a mistake that we make, something wrong that we might have said, instructions that we may have gotten from God and may have not done it all the way or done it a little bit wrong. And he goes to God and tries to attribute that to our character. That's what Satan does. And this is why slander, basically that scripture that talks about how he accuses us, he's slandering us in God's presence. He's telling God they're this and this, that, and the third. That's why slander is such a nasty and just awful, awful thing. And so I can think of a couple of examples, and these are lighthearted examples. There are things that are much, much more serious that you that may pop up in your mind as we look through this. But I can remember back when I was doing music, you know, before I got married and before I became youth pastor here at the church at Mount Gilead. I was really heavy into music. I was working at the church already. I was in the video department. One of my first responsibilities was the television broadcast when we were on the Word Network. And then that grew into some other things and eventually became youth pastor. Now, our youth program at the time took some serious concentration. And at the time, even before getting married, my mind, I loved music so, so much. And that's all I thought about when I woke up. All right, music. When I go to sleep, music. Like, it was just, what moves are we about to make, you know? And so I was a producer, rapper, and I also had a band. And I remember years later when catching up and kind of hearing some certain things, you know, when I, like I said, became married, became youth pastor, I kind of backed away from music a little bit. And I found out that a member that was a part of my band, he was dating a young lady at the time, and he attributed the problems that they had in their relationship to me backing away from doing music. And a lot of times, you know, bitterness, and I'm not, you know, speculating too much into what was going on in this person's personal life or whatever, but I think it's important to realize that from my perspective, you know, there were things that were being said, things that were being assumed about my character that were not truthful, you know, but because of the lens that someone else was seeing things through, it became my fault as to why that relationship didn't work. You know, there were things that were said like, you know, well, when we were all together and we were doing X, Y, Z, everything in my life was just so much better. And so that's just something light. There are things that may have happened even, you know, with me on the other side. There could have been someone who, you know, I could have been in school and all of us were just joking on each other and cracking jokes and roasting each other and different things. And everything was lighthearted. And then maybe I took something that someone said personally. And now, instead of handling that accordingly and maybe told the person, you know, hey, I think maybe you went too far. Now I'm attributing that to the person's character. All right. And so slander is just such a nasty thing because it doesn't look at things through the lens of forgiveness. It doesn't look through the lens of grace, but it attacks the character, the very being of a person instead of, and it can be a real mistake. It can be something that someone actually did wrong. But God's grace doesn't say you're a sinner and you can never be saved, but it says, no, like you made a mistake and my grace is available. Because that sin doesn't have to define you. What slander does, it tries to define a person, and that's the total opposite of what God's love and grace is all about. Even when someone is in a wrong or doing wrong, slander is never the God way of handling and going through something. Hopefully that connects and makes sense. An additional indicator, and this is something that we can be introspective with. I would use the word dwelling. An indicator of bitterness or an indicator that root is being formed is when we begin to dwell on something that was done or said to us. When we just stay put in a situation and we rehash and replay that thing over and over in our heads. And if you're anything like me, and many people deal with this, is when you could be over something, you could be going, it could be 2-3 months later, and then you remember something that really got you upset, someone that said something or someone that did something that really made you upset, and you begin to rehash and replay that thing, and now all of a sudden I'm angry again at something that happened 2 or 3 months ago. You know, that is an indicator of bitterness. And, you know, there's a reason, you know, that anger builds up. You know, that anger comes from that root of bitterness. It's an indicator because it shows that root hasn't been gone away. If I can just think about something and get mad all over again, and this is why, you know, even amongst friends and spouses and other things, it's no better when you rehash a situation that you thought you were over and then someone else is pouring gasoline on that fire. That just makes it all worse, but that's the indicator that root hasn't been killed off. And that brings me to the thought of when God talks about when he forgives us, he throws our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. I think there's something with that. You know, there's an element of not forgetting as in, oh, I bumped my head and I just don't remember it anymore, but choosing to forget and choosing to move on and actually killing off the root of whatever's causing that anger is very important. I think we can learn a lot from God and how he deals with us and how we sin against him and how others may do wrong against us. What we need to do to be able to get rid of that root of bitterness. There's an element of forgetfulness that we need to have when we forgive others. Otherwise, that thing can pop back up a year, a little bit later, and you're talking about it and it gets you upset all over again. So that's an indicator for bitterness. Now, I want to kind of talk to those in leadership and those that are in high positions, pastors, business owners, managers. You know, you may be the spiritual leader or the, you know, in your friend group or in your family or whatever it is, but don't allow bitterness to pull you into bitterness. And so this is a thing that happens to where someone who is bitter and that bitterness comes against you in the form of slander or whatever else, it can cause you and it can try to pull you into it. You know, this root is like, you know, like when I talked about poison ivy, man, that stuff, you know, there's certain types of roots that we think about like a nice, neat root or of like a nice flower or something like that. No, but like poison ivy, that stuff is like a vine. That stuff spreads and grows and you can pull it up over here and it tries to make its way and choke out so many other different things. And so what I would say is that you have to guard your heart. And I'll kind of read that scripture in just a second about guarding your heart, but especially those in leadership, because I identify with this greatly. And something for me is the two things that upset me the most is when someone does not comprehend what I'm saying, or someone takes what I'm saying out of context, or when my character is attacked because someone misunderstood or misrepresented something that I said or did. I have a really hard time with that. And that's something that when I look at leaders that are able to let stuff go, I have so much respect for, because there's nothing worse than a mistake that you made or something that someone misunderstood or mistaken that you did or said and attributes that to your character. That is something that can be very hurtful towards me. And I can be open and honest about that because I believe many people would feel the same way. And so when you're misunderstood, and sometimes, you know, we know leaders, and sometimes when you're on the outside in, you'll kind of see things a certain way. And then when you really get to know somebody, you know, especially someone higher up in leadership, you just be like, man, you know, like, wow. And you can say this because you hear a lot of the stuff, a lot of the noise, a lot of what people say. And you're like, man, you're really misunderstood. Like, I got a better understanding of your heart, your love for God, your love for people. And man, like there's a lot of elements about you that people just don't understand and will never understand. And so that's just a big thing that I want to point out, because that bitterness towards you can oftentimes pull you into bitterness to where now you're trying to bite back. And going back to that verse that talked about the poisonous root, you have to handle poison carefully. I go back to that poison ivy. I can't just go out there with no gloves on and start pulling up poison ivy. It's going to affect me in a way, and it's going to be very uncomfortable for me if I go out there with no protection and pull that stuff up. Also, like I came across a video the other day, and they were extracting venom from a snake, from poisonous snakes. And, you know, they were grabbing the snake by its head a certain way, and they knew how to, like, maneuver the head and squeeze the head of the snake in order for the venom to be extracted. Now, I'm not gifted in that. I don't know anything about that other than watching it on an Instagram video. But my point is that when things are poisonous, when we talk about the poisonous root of bitterness, you have to handle it carefully. Those in leadership, when things come against you, when slander comes against you, when bitterness is being shown against you, you have to handle it carefully. And God can give us wisdom on how to do that. Now that we're through all of that, you know, I want to get to how to kill bitterness from the root. When we talk about the root of bitterness, how to kill it from the root. And I want to start with Proverbs 4:23, which talks about guarding your heart. And there's a version that talks about guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Before I read this verse, I want to let you know your heart is like a garden. Your heart is where the fruits of the spirit, the fruit of the spirit with those multiple characteristics are developed and form, and it should flow from that. But also your heart is what bitterness attacks. Those roots of bitterness try to form in your heart. So if you look at your heart, like my heart is a garden, you can see, okay, there are certain things that need to grow. There are certain things I need to cultivate, and there are certain things that I need to keep out, and certain things I need to pull up from the root, because if not, it will affect other things. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else. This is the defensive nature. Yes, our heart is supposed to be doing things. It's supposed to be loving people. It's supposed to be exuding love, grace, peace, forgiveness, long-suffering, kindness. But we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about guard it. Guard your heart above all else. This is a defensive nature, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech, which for me includes things like slander and, you know, all those different other byproducts of bitterness. But it says, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. We must guard our hearts. We can guard our hearts by not even allowing that root to take place. But if you are in a position to where bitterness has formed and that thing is there, there are some things that there are a few things I want us to look at. I want us to look at love, forgiveness, and prayer. And I want to start with the last one of those, because many people, especially in society, when something happens big in the world, in a country, whatever, we can say thoughts and prayers, or let's pray for this country, let's pray for that country. And the world has taken that, and there's many people who then start saying, like, Christians are always saying, let's pray for this, let's pray for that. And they begin to say that prayer is ineffective. Prayer is one of the most powerful things that we have, because, you know, there are spiritual things that are happening. There's wars that go on. There's different things that happen. But spiritual things have to be fought in the spirit. And honestly, when you talk about demons and when you talk about those fallen angels, our angels are warring. You know, there's a whole war going on in the spirit realm, and it's not necessarily up to you to go out. Like, many people feel like, I'm a demon slayer and I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that. Listen, it's our angels. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God. He'll have us to do certain things and say certain things and participate in some of these things, but it's not within yourself that you're going to fight these things. But when you go to prayer, that is what we're instructed to do. We're instructed to pray. When Jesus was against one of the, you know, he would always pray. When he's about to go sacrifice his life and die on the cross, he prayed. He conversated with God. He expressed to God, you know, how he was feeling, what he was going through, asking God for forgiveness. When we look at Matthew 6 and the Lord's Prayer, you know, that's what we need to be going to God in prayer with. God, your will be done. God, forgive me as I forgive others. All of those elements that's in the Lord's Prayer are very powerful and should be a part of our prayer life. And those things and praying will begin to uproot the bitterness that's in your life. In that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, when he talks about, you know, Lord, help me to forgive others as you forgive me. Forgiveness is so major. And I want to just take a moment to look at how God dealt with Paul. When there's someone who has caused bitterness, you know, whether it be through any of those things that we listed earlier in the podcast that can cause you to become bitter, or whether it's someone that was bitter that in turn made you bitter, I want us to look at how God dealt with Paul. This is someone who slandered Christians. This is someone who slaughtered Christians. this is someone who was anti-God. And what does God do? He doesn't just say, this is such a terrible person, let me wipe them away from the face of the earth because he hates me and he hates my people. But God had grace, and he had an encounter with Paul, and Paul's heart was able to be changed. And undoubtedly, the things that Paul was doing was as a result of bitterness. And so I just want us to really look at that. Look at how God handled Paul. And we need to begin praying that, God, let a right heart be within me, the heart that you have to allow me to forgive others. Maybe it was a soul wound, something that you experienced a long time ago. Maybe you saw your dad did your mom the wrong way, or your mom did your dad the wrong way, and there was bitterness that happened as a result of that. We need to walk in forgiveness. And a lot of times we can say, oh, I forgive, or I forgive you, and I whatever, whatever. Yes, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, but at the same time, like, you can be saying something and it not really be coming from the heart. And so I want us to really look at this and the areas in our life where there's bitterness, there's oftentimes unforgiveness and a reluctancy to move on and throw those things into the sea of forgetfulness that causes that bitterness to stay. And then love. God is love. Love never fails. We need to be working on our heart. We need to be reading our Bibles. We need to be spending time with God in order for that love. Love will choke out bitterness from the root. True love. We need to be asking God, God, help me and show me how to love. There's so much with this. And I kind of want to jump off at this place, but I hope that through this, you can see how bitterness is that silent killer, how it forms under the ground as a poisonous root, and it's designed to pull you off of God's plan for your life. It's designed to destroy you. It's designed to pull others that are close to you into that. It's designed to destroy relationships. That bitterness is a poisonous root that you cannot allow to fester. I want you to really see that. And there are things, there are principles that we have to work with to eradicate bitterness. And there's principles that show us how to prevent and guard our hearts from that bitterness ever being able to take root and form. But before I close, all of this makes me even think about on a larger scale. You know, there's so many different things in your personal life that you can apply this to. But we have to watch out for movements. Earlier when I mentioned there's injustice that can happen that can cause bitterness, I think about a lot of the things that happen in society. You know, maybe it's things with you know, police reform or racism or anything that, you know, may be really wrong within society. But as followers of Christ, there are certain ways that we're supposed to handle injustice. All right. And what we have to make sure is that we are not attaching ourselves to movements that are operating out of a heart of bitterness. Many times, seers, people who can see, will be warned of, like, you know, I don't know about that. I wouldn't attach myself to that movement or whatever, whatever. And we'll just, like, no, nah, like, you know, it's injustice and we need to stand up for it and we need to blah, 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 blah. But injustice can breed bitterness. And you'll know when you're attaching yourself to stuff when they're not handling it from first a standpoint of prayer and following, okay, what are God's instructions? What does God want us to do to bring justice? God is for justice. But when we try to handle justice through bitterness, we've lost the plot. And so again, it's something that can be under the ground. And if you're not spiritual enough to be able, or not at the point in your spiritual journey to where you're able to see through things, you will attach yourself to movements and people who are operating out of a heart of bitterness, all right? And so again, I wanna read Hebrews 12 because I believe that reading this will round it out. And so let's go back to Hebrews 12, 15. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless, like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. Again, I pray that this has been a blessing to you. I pray that God was able to get a message across to you, that I was able to lay it out properly so that you can receive what's being said, that you can begin to recognize roots of bitterness and that you will know how to eradicate those. Again, this has been Changing Lives Podcast. Make sure you like, make sure you're subscribed if you haven't already, and make sure that you share this with a friend or a family or anyone who you believe that can grow and benefit from this message. Until next time, this has been Changing Lives. Be blessed.